Okay, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 again today. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9 today. And specifically, as we're dealing with the subject of suffering in 1 Peter, we're dealing here with suffering and the encouragement that we get from the relationship we have with the Lord, who we are. And we saw, first of all, here in this chapter, he talked about the fact that we are that the Lord's people are the chosen people of God. We looked at the fact that we're begotten again unto a lively hope. And then we have also looked at the fact we're begotten again to an inheritance, to a certain firm, steadfast, sure inheritance in verses 4 and 5. So 1 Peter chapter 1, let's begin reading. In verse number 6, and we'll read down through verse 9. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We are the people of a joyful perspective. There are a lot of people in this world, and there's a lot of people in this world who do have happiness and do show forth a lot of happiness. And at the same time, the Lord's people, above anyone else, should be a people who have a joyful perspective. And we find that Peter is telling us that in this chapter, in which that he's in a letter in which that he's dealing with the subject of suffering. He's dealing with suffering and how that as the people of God, that there are going to be times of suffering, but we're still to be a people of a joyful perspective. And so looking at this passage before us today, I'll look at a few things here, and we're just going to go through these verses 6 through 9, and just gain the points right directly from the verses. So, but we're thinking about the people of a joyful perspective, and that in fact that whenever difficult times or trials, we're going through hard times as the Lord's people, and we're going through, maybe we hit a stumbling block, maybe we hit something tomorrow that we weren't expected that we're going to hit, maybe we hit a curb like last night, but maybe we hit something that we're not expecting, and it's just something that comes upon us and it comes on us fast, and we're not ready for it, not prepared for it. That we would see that Peter is saying to us here that we can still be a people with a joyful perspective, and we don't have to, and it shouldn't be that we'd be a people who would become too. There are times where it's gonna be hard in this life. There are times when we go through trials and difficulties, and some of you are going through some trials and difficulties now that are just. They're very hard to take, and they're not. It's hard to have a smile on your face when they're going through times like that, and that's just the reality of life. But at the same time, in our hearts, we should be able to have, and Peter is encouraging God's people during times of trial and difficulty, that they are the real people of a joyful perspective. They are the people in this world that manifest the testimony of the Lord concerning joy. But let's go, Lord, in prayer before we go any further. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us and just the opportunity to look into your word and to think upon this portion today. Help us to eat it. Help us, Lord, to take it in, and give us grace, Lord, to see and to rejoice in it. And we just pray for your blessings that it might have an encouragement and an impact upon our life. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter is saying here that there are times, going to be times in our life, we're going through trial. He just says it. He says that that there's going to be trials here. Verse 6, he says, we're in. He says, there's some things that we greatly rejoice in, even though that for now we're going through a trial. Even though for now, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. There are trials upon the believer's life that God brings, and he brings them. Sometimes they're sustained, long, chronic. Sometimes they're short. Sometimes they're light, and sometimes they're very heavy. And so there's all kinds of trials that we're called upon that the Lord's going to bring, going to allow to happen in our lives, and they're all going to be for our good, but they're going to they're going to be a test, obviously, on our joyfulness. How am I rejoicing in the Lord? How am I supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord? Well, Paul told the Philippians, always, is what he said. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So there's going to be tests on our rejoicing. There are going to be tests that come upon us that are going to really challenge how joyful we are. And those kind of things just happen, and they just cause you to be distracted. They cause, and I say distracted, and I say the Lord sometimes distracts us or allows us to be distracted for our own good, and he's going to take us through times and build us and strengthen us with the trials and difficulties that we have and bring us to an understanding, a greater and greater understanding of what his will is in our life or how we'd be able to help somebody else. And he'll make us people that are useful in his hands in one way or another and that glorify him, that give him glory for what he does. And so we think here about the fact that we're to be this people of a joyful perspective. Wherein you greatly rejoice. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice. And in all that was said previous in this chapter, everything that was said that he started this letter out, and he started talking about, just as I said, talking about the fact these were folks that were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And all the Lord has been so good to them. He's blessed them. We blessed be the Father and God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his abundant mercy that's begotten us again. We've been born again unto a lively hope. We've been born again unto this inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, and that we're kept, verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, we are saved people. We're people who've been saved by the grace of God. We've been delivered from our sins. We have been delivered from the wrath of God upon our sins. We've been delivered from from being bound in sin. We've been enlightened. We have been given a peace. We have been given everything, the Lord's love toward us, everything that should sustain a joy in our hearts, in our lives. And we read about it here. He says, so in all those things is what he's referring to, verse number 6, wherein, In the spiritual things, in the things of God that have delivered us, this great salvation that we have in the Lord, wherein you greatly rejoice. So we're rejoicing in the Lord. We're rejoicing in the things that he's done for us. We're rejoicing in the relationship that we have with him. And so you greatly rejoice. Remember the disciples were sent out and they... And for that period of time in which that the Lord had blessed and the Lord had given the ability to perform certain signs and wonders, gifts, type things, and healings and such. And they came back, and the disciples came back. He'd sent the 70 out, and they came back, and they're just rejoicing, and they're so happy, and they're thrilled about the fact that they were able to, you know, cast out devils. They're able to heal somebody. It says this, and they're all joyful about that. And Jesus said, don't rejoice about that. He said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, he knew that was not going to be a sustaining thing. That was not his will that what was they were going through at that time, which was a proof to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, a proof to the fact that he's the Messiah who was to come. They're going through these things and they're having this blessings of the Lord where they have the ability to do these sign gifts and such as this. And it was proof to others of the reality of the Messiah. But he says, hey, you know what? Sustained, long-term Rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you're a child of God. Rejoice that you have a relationship with the Lord. Rejoice that you know the Lord. There's where your joy, there's where true joy, there's where the real joy of our life should be found and should be sustained. Other things are going to happen. Other things are going to be temporary. Other things are going to be tangent. Other things are going to be sideline things that happen in there. And we might joy for a while over those things, but there's some things that are just, they're kind of, this thing is more important than anything else, that our names are written in heaven. This is more important than anything else, that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Nothing more important than being the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Nothing more important than to be one who's been blessed with, according to the abundant mercy of the Lord, that we've been begotten again unto a lively hope by Christ. Nothing more important than being a child of God. So we find here, he says, we're rejoicing in that, not in our condition, not in our circumstances, not in our, you know, not being either defeated by our circumstances or overjoyed by our circumstances, but rather we are thankful to God for the relationship we have with him, and then rejoicing in how he blesses us and being thankful for all the things and all the ways that he does bless us as his people, and taking in, whenever he takes us through trial, taking in the trial, tasting the trial. Know that it's of the Lord. Know that it's hard sometimes. And know that that's what he wants us to. He wants us to feel it. He wants us to be hurt by it. He wants us to be, and I don't mean in a lasting sense, but I mean hurt in the sense that you give your child a spanking and you want the child to cry, you know. And you want the effect. You want to have the appropriate effect of what's going on. And the Lord is drawing us to himself, and sometimes some of our heads are harder than others. And whenever I've got a harder head than some people, and as a result, what happens is that that the Lord has to, you know, has to get my attention a little bit more than perhaps someone else. And has to, when he does, he's, as he gets our attention, as he takes us through a trial, as he takes us through a loss, as he takes us through some kind of grief, as he takes us through some kind of problem in this life, and he allows that to happen, he wants it to happen so that we be closer to him and so that we appreciate the relationship that we have with him through Christ Jesus. Because that relationship is only through Christ. It's a relationship only through salvation. It's only through the gospel. It's only an evangelistic relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is far less important in this life. And so so he says in that, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, even though for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptation. So in all that was said previous, we greatly rejoice, he says. And he goes on to talk about this kind of joy. And he says in verse number 6, this joy is not, it's not mitigated, it's not diminished by trials. Even though you're in trials right now, you still greatly rejoice. It's a matter of perspective of the purpose of the trials. Look at verse number 7. He says, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, think about what the trial is, and think about what the Lord, what the hardship is. If I can look at my loss, and I can look at the hardships that I have, and I can look at the things that have taken place in my life that have been the tough times, the hardest times that I've ever faced in my life, then that's a trial of my faith, no doubt about it. And he says, that's what it is. The Lord is working. The Lord's working in those days, in those dark days, in those hard times, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious, your faith being much more precious, so your faith that's very precious is being tried. And he says it's much more precious than of gold that perishes. How does a gold get tried? Well, it's tried with fire, though it be tried with fire. So the fire is like the trouble. The fire is like the hardship. The trial, the fire is like the loss, the trial. The trial with fire. might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's got a purpose in it. He's fulfilling a purpose within us through the trial of our faith and showing us how precious, in fact, how valuable that faith is. What is that faith? It's saving faith. It's our salvation. It's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our standing with God through Christ. And he said, that is valuable. That is so valuable. That is what we're rejoicing in. And he says that. So if he's going to take that I'm rejoicing in, and he's going to break everything up around it, and yet it's going to continue to stand, and it's going to continue to be there, that faith, that saving faith that we have, and if it's the cause of our rejoicing, then we're going to joy no matter what. We're going to have rejoicing in our hearts no matter what, because we're not ever going to lose that. We're going to lose everything else. Could be, anyway. We could lose everything else, but we'll never lose that. He's promised us to have that, and so as a result, we won't lose that joy. So understanding, having a right perspective, it's a matter of the joy and rejoicing in the Lord is a matter of having a proper perspective of the purpose of our trials, and that those trials are to prove that one thing that matters the most, that relationship with God through Christ that matters the most, is the real cause of our joy. And we as the people of God, then what we do? We're going to glorify God. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be grateful to God for what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. Verse 7. If the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of whom? At the appearing of our Savior. At the appearing of the very one that loved us and gave himself for us. At the appearing of the one who the scripture talks about here, the Holy Spirit sprinkled his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. It talks about the fact that it is through Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have this lively hope. It's through Christ Jesus that we have this relationship with God. So Jesus Christ, the one that loved us, he is coming for us. He's coming back again for us. He's going to return to receive us. So that this faith be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse number 8, we love the one we're anxious to see. We're anxious to see him. You ever miss somebody? Yeah, I have. I've missed somebody before. And it just happens. We get away and, okay, Donna and me. But anyway, there's times where we're apart and you miss them and you miss somebody and you're anxious to see them after that. And so you say, oh, I can't wait to see you. That kind of stuff. It happens. Okay, it's real. Y'all have gone through that too. A lot of people have. We love the one that we're anxious to see. And in verse number 8, it says, whom having not seen. Okay, so for the disciples, Peter, he's seen him before, but he's saying to these folk, you've never even seen him. You never even had the opportunity to see him. And he says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing with this faith. What is this faith doing for you? What's this precious faith, this faith, that saving faith, what's it doing for you? Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're anxious to see this one, even though that you've never seen him. I've never seen him. I mean, we've seen him spiritually speaking as the Lord's people, but we've never physically seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody has their pictures, and I'm sorry, but I don't agree that Jesus looked like what most of the pictures show. Nobody knows exactly what he looked like, but the fact of the matter is, I doubt very seriously he looked like what he's proposed to be. We are anxious to see the righteous one. We're anxious to see the one who gave himself for us at Calvary. We're anxious to see the one who loved us more than he loved himself. The one that loved us so much that he took all our sins and he endured the penalty, the payment of the sin in his own body on the cross. That he suffered for us instead of us having to suffer eternal hellfire for our sins. He suffered for us there. And we can't even imagine how much suffering was there. But there must have been a lot of joy there too, because it was joy that caused him to go there. It says, who for the joy that was set before him, knowing that this was going to accomplish the deliverance of his people from their sins, he was joyful out of love for those that he is dying for, that he was also filled with joy. But we love the one who we're anxious to see as we look at this passage. And so that joyful perspective, looking at this perspective that the children of God should have as Lord's people when they're thinking about the big things. Verse number 8 says, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, our saving faith causes our rejoicing. Yet believing you rejoice. You rejoice because you are a believer. You rejoice. This joy that he's referring to here, the cause of it is our faith in the Lord Jesus. It's our salvation that we have from the Lord. Our joy, verse 8 says, yet believing you rejoice with joy. And he gives two descriptions of this joy. He says it's unspeakable and it's full of glory. Unspeakable and full of glory. Now, for it to be unspeakable, what does that mean? That means there's just no words for it. It means there's not a good enough word. You try to find a word that fits this joy that is had in the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy, the rejoicing that we can have in the Lord. There's just not a word for it. It doesn't, you can't put it in words. So he says it's unspeakable. You can't even describe it. It's indescribable. It's more than what we could possibly put into word. And so he says it's joy. There's the joy. Joy unspeakable. Do we have that joy unspeakable? Well, I think sometimes we rob ourselves of joy. I think sometimes we're our worst, our own worst enemies, in that sometimes that we don't really do the things that cause us to rejoice, and we're not focused on what causes us as the Lord's people to rejoice. We sometimes get distracted, and the distractions of trial are one of the biggest things that can possibly rob us of joy. It can cause us to be a people who don't have the kind of rejoicing that we ought to have because we're distracted, as though that our situation is what causes us to either be joyful or sorrowful. And when the Lord says no, it's our relationship with him that is our real joy, where we should find our joy. And so he says it's unspeakable. Words can't describe it. And the second thing he says is that it's full of glory. What does that mean? What does it mean that this joy is full of glory? Well, there's two ways that you can look at that. And I don't think it's wrong to look at both ways. There's two ways you can look at it. It's either glory to God or glory from God. So when you look at glory to God, think about glory to God. This is the opportunity to glorify God. The joy that we have, this unspeakable joy that's just undescribable, and you can't even really explain it. Why is it that a child of God could go through the kind of suffering that they're going through and go through it patiently and still have joy and still thank the Lord every day that he's helped them and given them grace and taking care of them. And how can we go through time like that? How can we possibly be a people who still have joy when the world thinks that everything that causes joy has already been taken away from you? And so when we think about glory to God, that glorifies God. Our life becomes a testimony. We said the title of the message, or we said that what we're talking about was going to be, we're the people of a joyful perspective. We're a different kind of people than the rest of the world. And that is there's a sense in which that we're glorifying God that way. God is receiving glory whenever folk look and consider us and might look at our life and think, boy, this person is going through all of this and it hasn't shaken their faith. And it hasn't shaken them. It hasn't moved them away from the confidence that they had in the Lord. It hasn't moved them away from the peace and the joy that they have in the things of God. And so, in one sense, it's glory to God. In another sense, it's glory from God. Glory is like brightness. It's like, here, this is something to be seen. And so it glorifies God. It's glory to God from others. They see our testimony and such as this. But also there's glory from God in the sense that the Lord God is actually, he's actually bringing us to a place of greater brightness, if you will. He's actually making us to be glorifying us and making us to be brighter and making us to be improving us through faith, through the trial of faith. He's causing us to come out like the scripture says here, that gold, you know, you put us into that furnace of affliction and that furnace of difficulty. And how do we come out? We come out brighter in a sense. We come out, the gold comes out more refined and purer each time it's put into the furnace, each time it's melted. And so it is that the Lord is working on us. And the faith that we have is something that's about us, and God's given it to us. And we have this precious faith as something that is a part of us now. And we as the saints of God are in a sense glorified through it, and we are purified and made more like the Lord have us to be. One of these days we'll be fully glorified, and we'll have complete separation from our sin and from the hurts and the difficulties and the tears and all the things that mitigate our joy, that have a tendency to mitigate our joy. But then joy is, what is it? Joy is based on, in verse number 9, receiving, he says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. You're kind of getting, you're receiving, you're accepting, you're getting the end of your faith, the purpose of it. You're getting to the purpose of your faith. Faith is given to us, and what is the real purpose of the Lord giving us faith? What's the real purpose of the Lord saving you from your sins? We say, well, one of the purposes is that I might glorify him. And it is, to worship him. And I mean, he goes and seeketh such to worship him. He told the woman at the well. The Lord does that. He is seeking people that they might worship him. And why? Because it's the best thing you can possibly do. Because it's the most joyful thing you can possibly do. There's nothing better than to be worshiping the one who deserves to be worshiped. Our joy is based on what we've received. Our salvation, our soul salvation, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The very end of our faith is the purpose for our faith is us, is the salvation of our souls. And the Word of God says, hey, you know what? That's the cause. That's the big cause of faith. Our joy is based on what we've received, our soul salvation as the Lord's people. So, thinking about this passage, it seems to say, as easy as this is to practice, it seems to say that as the Lord's people, when we go through trials and difficulties in this life, that we should have, and the Lord's people do have to a certain degree, a joyful perspective. They have a joyful perspective, and it shouldn't be that be greatly diminished when we lose something other than our faith, because the faith that we have is the cause of the deepest and the greatest and the highest form of joy that the child of God possesses. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Be thankful for what Christ has done for you in saving your soul. And thank Him every day. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank You, Lord, for the great grace and mercy that sent Christ Jesus to the cross of Calvary to cause that we would be justified, that we would be declared righteous in Your sight, that we might receive forgiveness of sins, that we might be fully and completely cleansed and washed from all our sins through Your blood. And we just thank You, Lord, for the way in which that You have worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit's power and work to bring us, Lord, to this state of being begotten again unto You and being a child of God, having an eternal and everlasting relationship with You, having an inheritance that will never fade away. And we just thank You for the grace that has been given to us in salvation, for the faith that we have that is being tested, is being tried day by day in our lives. And we just pray that You might bless us to keep the perspective that we should have in rejoicing in You as we go through the difficulties even in this life. Lord, lift us up. Help us. We don't have the grace to do it. We don't have the ability in our hearts and in our lives to be able to be sustained through the most difficult trials that we go through. We can't even face sometimes the easy stuff. But Lord, we know that through You and by Your grace that we can be sustained. And we just pray for grace for those who are going through trials. And we pray that You might sustain us personally with grace, Lord, going through the whatever hardship, whatever trial, whatever test might come on us, even tomorrow. Give to us grace, Lord, to continue to rejoice in You and have that perspective that's a glorying perspective, glorifying You and as well being a testimony of how You're glorifying us, how You're changing us and sanctifying us. We ask Your blessings now in for all these things. Bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.